They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Pfizer tries to push back the expiration date on its little blue blockbuster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Drugmaker Pfizer heads to federal court today to defend its $1 billion a year moneymaker, Viagra. That little blue pill is scheduled to go off patent next year, which means generic drug makers can produce similar pills and sell them at a discount. But if Pfizer gets its way in this court case, the patent would be extended until 2019. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
One now legendary day in the early 1990s, Pfizer scientists discovered that their new drug for blood pressure was causing men to have spontaneous erections. Pfizer immediately applied for a new patent, renamed the drug Viagra, and the rest is history. The question in court today is whether that second patent is valid. It hinges on a legal concept called non-obviousness. Scott Hemphill is a law professor at Columbia University.
So the fight in non-obviousness often comes down to whether some new invention could have been seen by anybody.
Anybody, in this case, with experience in drug manufacturing.
Pfizer's reaction, as you would expect, is, well, if this is so easy to figure out, why didn't anybody do it until we did?
In fact, drug companies often try to find new uses for old drugs to extend their patent protection. It's called evergreening. John Iwanicki is a patent lawyer at Banner & Witkoff.
Evergreening means that you keep your patent portfolio evergreen by filing applications after the initial application on the compound to applications directed to different uses for the compound, different methods of making the compound, different forms of the compound.
For instance, the new chewable Viagra that Pfizer is selling in Mexico. If Pfizer wins this court fight, it'll have another 7 years of billion-dollar sales. If generic manufacturer Teva wins, Viagra pills get cheaper for the consumer. But while the art of evergreening can keep pills priced high, it also fosters continued innovation, says Bob Goldberg at the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. Not long ago, Pfizer extended its patent for Viagra to treat a potentially fatal heart disease called infantile pulmonary hypertension.
They found that Viagra, because it pumps blood supply to the body in low doses, was very, very effective. And I think they got an additional 6 months of patent life.
The patent court found that a drug for erectile dysfunction used to save newborns? Not obvious. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
To Washington now, where there's been another delay for Wall Street reform. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission says it needs 6 more months to finish writing new rules required by the Dodd-Frank law. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich joins us live with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Jeff, tell us about this latest delay.
Well, these are the rules for derivatives trading. This is also sometimes called swaps trading, but even that is kind of up in the air because part of what's been delayed here is actually writing definitions for all these terms. Generally speaking, derivatives are loosely regulated financial bets that companies make to protect against risk. It could be based on interest rates, wheat prices, weather patterns. Bad derivatives bets helped bring down Lehman Brothers and AIG, and a whole bunch of new rules are supposed to bring them into the light of day. Those are now put off until December.
Well, and is this kind of delay widespread for all kinds of rules in the Dodd-Frank law?
Yeah, here's the scorecard as of June 1st, according to the law firm Davis Polk. 28 deadlines officially missed, 115 rules proposed but not finalized by their deadline, and 24 actually completed. Those complete rules include new capital requirements for banks and one that requires companies to let shareholders vote on executive pay. One more looming number here, 218 more Dodd-Frank rules still have their deadlines yet to come.
Marketplace's Jeff Horwich, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower across Europe and Asia this morning. The online music service Pandora pulled in $16 a share yesterday in its initial public offering. That's about twice as much as expected for the so far unprofitable company that boasts 94 million registered users. On Wall Street yesterday, a happy tune. The Dow jumped 123 points, about 1%, to close at 12,076.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
To France now, where members of parliament have written a letter to Air France asking for a favor. Don't buy those foreign planes made by that American company, Boeing. Buy local. Buy Airbus. Well, that might sound harmless, but as our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports, it could reignite a trade battle between Europe and the U.S.
Air France is about to order 100 jets worth more than $20 billion. French lawmakers say they've learned the airline wants to buy the planes from Boeing. But the lawmakers argue France's national carrier should go with Airbus and protect thousands of Airbus jobs in France. The French government, the largest single shareholder in Air France, has now got involved. A trade minister will shortly meet the airline chief. Press reports suggest the minister will lean heavily on him to buy Airbus. Aviation analyst Howard Wealdon says another transatlantic trade war could be looming.
Air France should buy the aircraft it needs. It doesn't need government interference. And if the French government does that, then don't be surprised if there's retaliation in the US.
Air France currently has twice as many Boeing as Airbus planes in its long-distance fleet. One French lawmaker complains this is Air France, not Air Boeing. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, to New York City, where restaurants are still getting used to a new law that requires them to post the letter grades they get from the health department in a place where customers can see them. Turns out about 800 restaurants that got B's and C's from the health department haven't been posting their grades very prominently. They're going to be slapped with a fine of up to $1,000. One customer says, however, she doesn't mind her local pita restaurant's violation of the rules. She told the New York Post it doesn't matter to her as long as they have falafels for $3. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
22 million people use illegal drugs in this country every year, and that kind of demand inevitably produces a profitable supply.
I think that Mexicans get a bad rap, and while a lot of the stuff is coming across the border, it's our demand that's pushing it here, you know?
I'm Kai Rizdal, rethinking the economics of the war on drugs. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ, and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.